another episode of the Brand X Podcast, episode 116. I'm one of your hosts, John, and with me, as always, Deuce.
Comes top pitches.
How do you feel about having your intro stolen by the Duchess over on the Boomer Bunker?
No, that's fine. I procured it from Anchorman.
Oh,
that's okay. Where I came from.
I didn't know that. And why wouldn't I know that?
Because you didn't see Anchorman?
Yeah, and why didn't I not see Anchorman?
Oh, because Will Ferrell's in it.
Because Will Ferrell's in it, and yeah. I despise Will Ferrell. So that's why. Hey, so I wanted to talk about our show because we missed an anniversary. We talked about our seven-year anniversary, but it was the same week that our one-year anniversary coming back was. And I was trying to figure out to go back to the way we used to do Brand X. And it's hard because the simple fact is that we used to make fun of the shit that's happening right now. But what we used to do was we would make fun of the things that are actually mainstream right now. And if we make fun of those things that we used to make fun of now, it becomes political. And you don't want to do political. And
yeah, I'm a pain in the ass.
No, you're not. But I'm just saying this show is not cancelable for the simple fact nobody knows us. And we're bringing it back. Although, listen, I love our audience. We have a pretty good audience as far as downloads. We get about 300 downloads per episode per month. And to me, that's a nice little podcast right there. You get too big, then you got problems. So what do I do? Because what we used to do on Brand X was I would go and I'd find a story where, remember the story where the lady wanted to marry the church? And then sologamy, where I was going to marry myself?
That was in the news today.
Exactly.
Did you ever watch, or are you aware of the show Outnumbered on Fox?
No.
All right. So they did a story just before you called me up today about coming over here. It was on there about women marrying themselves. And Diane was like, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. I said, you know what? John and I did this story 5 or 6 years ago. And on the artwork, it's you marrying you.
Standing over a wedding
cake. Yeah, you're both in the tub. Yeah, so one of my better pieces.
It is. Matter of fact, do you still have any of that artwork?
Oh, yeah. I have a big file full of that shit.
If you could send me that artwork, because I would love to pull that and put that in.
All right. This.
I would wish you would go back and make the artwork.
Yeah, but Apple doesn't. Well, the Apple computer that I have no longer supports Adobe Illustrated.
Damn.
I had to delete it. I had it for a couple of years afterwards, but then Apple kept upgrading their platform. And unless I upgraded my memory storage on the computer, I wasn't able to run it. So I just said, well, delete it. So I'd have to get a new computer to do it. My particular Apple computer will not support it. Okay. That's the issue.
Okay. That being said, all the stuff we used to make fun of, all the crazy stories we made fun of, is now mainstream. And so what do we do here? And I just say, fuck it. Let's just lean into the stupid. Let's just lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, may I wish you a happy Pride Month?
No.
Because
there'll be no wishing Deuce happy Pride Month.
No. There's no rainbow in your future?
No. Hey, how was your, before we get in there, how was your Memorial Day? Did you have a good holiday weekend?
Dude, everything is Groundhog Day for me.
Right.
I do everything the same. It doesn't matter holiday. I didn't have a hot dog,
cold,
hamburger.
Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. I worked most of the time doing editing and stuff like that. So it didn't do anything. How was yours? Did you have a barbecue? Did you go somewhere?
Oh, it was a nice 3 days. It was our weekend scheduled off. So it was great. Up here where we live in New Jersey, it was probably one of the best 3 day weekends for weather ever that I can remember anyway in the last 20 or 30 years. It wasn't hot. It wasn't rain. Usually it pours its ass off every Memorial Day weekend.
That is true.
And this was really, really nice. I got a lot of shit done. We're going crazy at home because we're planning this big party next Saturday. So
now, what is the big party for?
My son and daughter-in-law. It's basically a wedding reception. And oh, by the way, we're going to be grandparents, kind of a party. So the baby's coming in August. They got married last October, so it's like we're on a full court press here. So we're having about 50 people coming.
And the baby is due?
Sometime in August. They're not exactly sure when.
Okay. Sometime in
conception
August.
Was. So there's a set of dates. I think it's like between the 5th and the 12th, something like that.
Okay. So that's cool.
Yeah, I might not be podcasting that week. I don't know.
Well, I think that the I was going to say, I think the Dutch is already waving her hand. She wants to come over and do an episode of the Brand X. I'm not going to do that this year. What we'll do is we'll take the month off when your first grandchild.
I can't come the week before or the week after.
Okay, well, we'll schedule it around the baby. Of course we will. It's not like we're doing it every week.
I was going to say, I was quitting, Duchess. Just jump on my grave, why don't you?
I had Duchess come in here and fill in for Bob when he was out for the Boomer Bunker. And she fell in love with podcasting. And to be honest with you, dude, she's a natural at it. Only two times that she's really been behind the mic, and I thought she did an excellent job for only being on behind the mic two times.
Was it both times on the bunker?
Both times on the bunker.
Yeah, it must have been. That's another thing I listened that you're into.
So, and she's got the bug. I mean, she's like, hey, I'll come. I'll do it, which is fantastic. I love the enthusiasm of the Duchess. And the Duchess is here watching us live do this. This is the first time we're actually doing it live in the Discord.
That's not an easy ride to make down here in the hinterlands of South Jersey either.
No.
Not for her.
It's a long ride. Yeah, but what I did was I gave her one of my, I don't know, 50 microphones here and a mic stand, and then she can do it from her house.
Well, the first time she was here, right?
First time she was here.
That's a hellacious drive.
Yeah, it was. But it worked out. That's why all that stuff was sitting around. I had to put a computer there and prop it up so she could see what was going on as far as stories.
You punted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So then I had to come tear it all down again.
Look at you, like Jordy LaForge, just on the fly, making shit work. We got warp drive now.
Snapping and doing things, getting shit done. That's me. As you can see, when we did the Boomer Bunker, that's why this computer's down here now. Because I went to go do the Boomer Bunker, and all the settings were off. And I, you know, I had to go back and reset everything. And
what do you got, like 17 computers?
I have three... three computers here. I have the big iMac I have? That's in the back. I should take and see if I could get that working.
Because it looks like a 1980s Radio Shack down here. You got so much equipment.
I know. Where was I? Oh, we were talking about, you know,
making fun of shit.
Yeah, doing the show. I just want to come back and just lean into the stupid shit that's in the news. And through this whole Pride Month thing, the stupidity is at a fever pitch. All right, I'm going to ask you this because there's going to be two stories, one now and one later on. Do you have a Twitter account where you monitor? You don't. Dude, you are missing out on major, major fun nonsense.
One social platform is enough.
I know you say that. And again, there's no sense in getting in there and fighting with people like me because did I tell you I got my John Domingo Twitter account back?
I didn't know you had lost it.
Oh, yeah. Years ago, I had lost it. 2 years ago, I had lost it.
Was that because Elon Musk took over?
No, this was before Elon.
No. I mean, did you get it back?
Yes.
Because he took over.
Yes. Okay. I got it back. And within a week, I got a timeout. That being said, so there's all kinds of shit going on. So now, the Daily Wire, I know you're a fan of, on the first day of Pride Month, June 1st, they wanted to put out their documentary by Matt Walsh, What is a Woman? Did you see What is a Woman?
Yeah.
Okay. I watched it too. Excellent, excellent documentary.
It's one of the most successful documentaries of all time.
It's unbelievable.
They won't tell you that in the lamestream media, but.
Ooh, lamestream media. I like that.
Oh, that's a Rush Limbaugh, the great Rush Limbaugh.
Okay. The lamestream media. They wanted to do this on the 1st of June. It was all set up. They went to Twitter. They said, we want to release this. We had it behind a paywall. And what we're going to do is we're going to put it up for 24 hours for free so everybody could watch it. They paid extra. They were going to get a landing page. It was all set up day or two beforehand. Well, they said, hey, can we see the movie? We'd like to see the movie. They sent a screener over. They watched the movie and they said, no, you can't do this. You're not going to put it up. And if you put it up on your own, what we're going to do is we're going to make it where you can't share it.
It won't be available for everybody on Twitter. It would only be available to their followers or whatever they call it on Twitter.
They'll basically hide it so nobody could watch it.
So it's like you have the right to vote, but you really can't see what you're voting for.
Well, you have the right to vote. We're just not going to count it.
Right.
Okay, that's basically what they said. So immediately, the Daily Wire crew has millions and millions of subscribers. They all started saying, hey, Elon, what the fuck? You know, this is supposed to be the free speech and all this is going on. And Elon stepped back and he hired a new CEO.
Yeah, that the previous CEO is no one knows what happened to him. I mean,
well, he got fired.
Well, or did Hillary Clinton's crew get him? Or
no, no.
Did he accidentally shoot himself in the back of the head twice? And
no, I don't think so.
No, just saying. Yeah, because Twitter, from what I read, Elon came back and said, this is a mistake. This shouldn't have happened. And then it's going to go as originally planned.
So I have some tweets here. So Elon comes in and he basically says, this is a mistake. Ugh. Pop-ups. Fucking hate pop-ups. Can I just tell you that right now?
I don't know of anyone that likes them.
That's true. This is a mistake by many people at Twitter. It's definitely allowed. Whether or not you agree with using someone's preferred pronouns, not doing it so at most is rude and certainly breaks no laws. I should note that I do personally use people's preferred pronouns as I ... I don't know, whatever.
Well, I read the tweet. He uses personal pronouns to be polite, just as people, he will use someone's preferred name.
Yeah.
So just as you prefer to be John Jamingo.
Correct.
He would call you that.
Exactly. And I don't have a problem with any of that. Mm-hmm. If I had someone in here that was wanted me to use their they pronoun, I would try my best. I would fuck it up because I'm old and we've been doing it the right way for how many years. So I would try it. So then Elon comes back on today. All right, so I'm getting ahead of myself. Mm-hmm. So even with it throttled, last night I checked, 1.1 million people had watched the video. Elon Musk unthrottles it. Oh, they also had a disclaimer on it. Disclaimer's gone now. Elon Musk retweets it and says every parent should watch this.
Yeah.
When I looked at it, there was 3.5 million people had watched it.
On my way over here, as at that time, Shapiro's show or Matt Walsh's show had not dropped yet. Assuming that today's episodes of those two podcasts will probably have more information. Ooh, I'm all aglow. I can't wait.
So last night, the Daily Wire was Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh.
Michael Knowles.
Mike, no.
I wasn't there?
No, he was not there. Candace Owens, Jordan Peterson, and maybe somebody else. They did a Twitter space for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, Andrew Klavan and Matt and Michael Knowles are the other.
Okay, so maybe they were there. I don't know.
I was listening to Michael Knowles' podcast. His did drop today.
Okay.
And I got about 15 minutes in on my way over here, and he talked about it. So it sounded like he had been there for the Twitter space.
Okay, so
that's why I'm saying. I'm assuming he was. Maybe he wasn't.
Right. The reason I'm talking about the Twitter space is it sucks. The audio quality sucks. It's awkward. It's clunky. You can only use it on a phone. I don't know why they don't let you use it on a desktop. It would be amazing if they did. But for some reason, they have not done it, and I don't know why. So they went in, and they did like a 45-minute explanation of what was going on and put links to it and everything. But my issue right now is, what is Twitter? Every time somebody drops something, it gets banned, and they got to go run, Daddy! Daddy! They're doing, and then Daddy comes in and goes, what the fuck with you people? All right.
Clean up a mess.
Yeah, they got to clean up. He's got to clean up a fucking mess. Now, the person that he hired, apparently she worked for the World Economic Forum.
Oh, well, okay. Duh,
right?
That's a fucking problem. Let's put a fox in charge of the hen house.
Okay. I say all that to say this. Alex Jones was on a podcast or something. I don't know if he was being interviewed. It was his own show. And they were talking about the Antichrist. And Alex Jones thinks the Antichrist is Elon Musk. Looks like a hero coming in to fix things. How much can we trust him? He's head of Tesla, which is based out of China.
Is there any pictures of Elon Musk in a green turban?
No.
That's, you read the Bible, he's going to have a green turban on.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Gaddafi was all into that shit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Muammar Gaddafi. If you're going to have a kid and he's going to be like a, you know, a dictator, why would you name him Muammar? You know.
I apologize.
And why would you just be a colonel?
Yeah, really? Why would you be like a general?
Yeah, like Idi Amin had it right. His title was President for Life, Idi Amin.
So there you go. Like,
that's pretty much it. Yes.
Since Elon took over Twitter, I love it. There's so much going on there.
He had a, I think it was what Tucker Carlson. He had an interview, and he had I forget how many people were working for Twitter before he bought it, but it was like in the tens of thousands. Like, I don't know, it was like 40,000 or 50,000 people working for I don't even know. He cut the workforce back to like 1,000.
Yeah.
And Tucker Carlson like had made a comment, well, that's like an astounding number. And Elon Musk said, well, when you're not trying to force your will, you know, a political viewpoint on the world, and you just want to be a social platform, that's all you need. But before he had done that, I remember commenting on, you know, on one of our past podcasts recently that I was stunned when I heard how many people were working for Twitter under
the old
Dorsey.
Yeah, well, he kind of stepped back. There was some other Indian guy, Dot Not Feather, that was basically running the place. And then they had this other woman there, Vijaya something.
Well, she was the Indian also.
She's Indian also.
Yeah.
But she was the
She's the one that banned Trump.
Yeah.
She's the one that made that decision.
Correct. So now, dude, there is a delicious amount of parody accounts out there. The first one I ran across was the one for AOC.
Right. You know, that reminds me, remember when she first got elected? What?
I went to AOC Press. This account does not exist. They fucking nuked her account. They nuked her account.
Mm, you must put a cease and desist on it or something. It'll be back, I guess, maybe. But do you remember when she first got elected, there was a 9-year-old girl on YouTube that was doing little AOC.
Yes. Yeah,
they put heat on a 9-year-old girl, and she had to stop doing those, whatever that account was called. And she was this 9-year-old girl, and she would say stupid, vapid AOC things. And they made actually more sense from a 9-year-old than from AOC.
I'm heartbroken, Deuce. This was my favorite Twitter account of all times because the account said such stupid, vapid,
AOC things.
AOC, yeah. You didn't realize that it was her. They took her check mark away. AOC, oh, I'm so upset. I can't believe this. Mm-hmm. It's like I just watched somebody getting shot in front of my eyes. I don't even know what to say.
Well, I just Googled it, I just DuckDuckGo'd it, and it doesn't say anything about it being throttled back yet.
Oh, my God. This is crazy.
Crazy.
Because AOC came in and said, you know, let me get to AOC because I'm sure she's here, bitch. When you have a parody account that is so vapid and says such nonsense that you can't tell the difference between a parody account, then that's got to tell you something.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get to it right now.
It sounds like you're over, kind of over the target.
Here it is. This is from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Sandy.
Is that what she used to call her when she was in college?
Oh, yeah, before she decided to do the minority thing, she was Sandy.
Sandy Cortez?
Yeah. Okay. I guess, I'm assuming.
Sandy says, for your information, there's a fake account on here impersonating me and going viral. The Twitter CEO has engaged it, boosting visibility. It is releasing false policy statements and gaining spread. I am assessing with my team on how to move forward. In the meantime, be careful what you see. Mm-hmm. So let me go to the comments.
The comments have been great from what I saw on the news feeds.
Yeah. This is why women aren't funny. They can't take a joke. While I absolutely respect the right for people who have a parody account, in this case specifically, it's very deceiving since the parody wording is not seen on most devices unless the username is clicked. I agree that Musk should do something about it, which someone said. The gray check mark means that it's the government account, which is the real one, and a blue check mark means that it could be something else. I'm just stuck. I mean, this blows my mind. It's actually taken me away from what I was even going to talk about, because what was happening was the parody accounts were referencing each other. Because the other one is Vice President Kamala Harris parody.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Trump was president, I think there was two or three parody Donald Trump accounts.
There was two or three?
Yeah, well, two or three that were of notable. she had no issue with that.
No.
Only the leader of the free world, not someone from a safe seat from the Bronx.
So this is what the parody count of Vice President Kamala Harris says. So Ukraine is a country in Europe. We should give them Florida and bring Ukraine to the USA. Problem solved. Here's another one. The passage of time are timeless passages of time that at times seems like passages running timelessly through time.
Did you hear that montage I think the RNC put together?
Yes.
Of her saying being unburdened by what has been and, you know, blah, blah. It goes on for 3.5 minutes. I mean, talk about being a one-trick pony. Like, that's all she's got. Yeah. It was like, I don't know, God, how many speeches do you have to make that they can make a 3 to 3.5 minute montage of just that phrase over and over and over again? What? She's got nothing else in her arsenal.
So The View, those vapid nitwits over on The View, and Sonny Hostin, your token black, I guess, social justice warrior. She comes on and she says, the reason that they do this, the reason that Kamala does this, is because the rule of three. You say it again, and then you say it a third time. And that's because she's a lawyer. And I'm like, wow, you want us to believe? You tried that out? And here's the problem, Deuce. There's a bunch of fucking white liberal housewives around there that will buy anything that these people say. It amazes me.
Well, that's their bubble, so.
Here's Vice President Kamala Harris's parody account. Let's print like a trillion and buy all the gas cars that exist. Boom, zero emissions. Problem solved.
See, that's why it's such an excellent parody account.
Yes!
Because you don't know.
You can't tell.
Because she said stupid things like that.
Here's another one. Just meant AOC. We're both on the same page. We need to print more money to solve inflation. It's insane.
I find it incredible that she, AOC, allegedly has a degree in economics from Boston University. And if that's true, they just shutter that wing of Boston University right up because of that's the caliber of people that they're turning out.
Okay, so breaking news. Breaking news! Mm-hmm. This is from the Elon Musk parody account. Mm-hmm. Sad to hear that AOC Press deleted their account. Twitter is mighty and free, built on our First Amendment. If we can't joke and have fun, then what's the point? Really, really sad day. I didn't get to take her out on one date.
And that's the parody account.
That's the parody account. But what I was saying was all these parody accounts were talking to each other. And it was fucking hysterical. To the point where people would get in there and they would start fighting with the parody account, thinking it was the real account. It amazes me. And again, this is why I love Twitter. I can't believe oh my God, AOC Press.
She'll be back.
I will remember you.
Sooner or later.
Do, 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 do.
I wonder what they would have to do to get back.
I don't know if you can, if you deleted your account. You can deactivate it.
Yeah, can you rename it?
I don't know.
Can you rename your account? I don't know. Everything I know about Thimble, you can Twitter, you can pack into a Thimble. So.
Oh, my God. I'm so upset. That was my favorite account, and she tweeted all the time. And if AOC tweeted, she would tweet she would tweet something back to it.
Now you got me curious. Let me see something.
Sorry.
Nah, I just want to check something out.
Oh, my heart is broken, Deuce. I can't believe AOC Press is gone. They took her from us way too soon.
It was Mini AOC was the name of the account.
Oh, Mini AOC.
Mini AOC, and she was, I just pulled up YouTube, so the videos are still out there. But you got to subscribe to it.
Oh, you do?
But here's a story here from 8-year-old Ocasio-Cortez impersonator makes a splash online. So, but eventually they came after her, and she had to pull it down.
Yeah, well, you know who came after her?
AOC.
You think? I'm sure that little kid got death threats from the other side.
Well, obviously her father and her mother and father put her up to it and everything.
Yeah.
But it was funny. It was all tongue in cheek. It wasn't like she's a 9-year-old, 8 or 9-year-old kid at the time. I mean, a lot of times she was just quoting AOC, I think, and then just maybe adding a sentence or two after that. It was brilliant. And she would put on the bright red lipstick and the gigantic glasses that AOC likes to wear.
Like, you could tell that AOC was pissed about this account. Because it basically made her Like, it took her position and all the nonsense that they were talking about. And like I said, back in the day with Brand X, you know, we would make fun of this. I mean, we would just troll this to the ends of the earth.
I wasn't aware that we stopped.
Well, again, which if you start doing this, if you start talking about it now all of a sudden you're a political podcast. Before, we were just talking about stupidity.
Oh, I guess.
But now stupidity is basically policy. So now what do? If you do that.
It makes me wonder how people make money at podcasting anymore. Because you get a sponsor, and the second you say something joking around about it, then they target your sponsors, and then your sponsors bail out on you.
Well, there are certain ways of making money on podcasts.
Not that we're making money here by any, but you know what I mean. But people that have advertised, like Casper Mattress and whatever. We all joke about Casper Mattress, but yeah. You know, it's like,
the thing with podcast advertising is it keeps growing and growing and growing. The reason that is happening is because the alternative media is growing and growing and growing, and places like CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, their audience is shrinking. Since Fox got rid of Tucker Carlson, it's like the Titanic. I mean, they're throwing people overboard left and right. Laura
Ingram?
No, the other one. The one that's the reporter. She just got fired. She's a reporter over there.
I don't know who that
is. If I brought up her Twitter, you would know. But that being said, I see these news agencies, they can't help themselves. They're not reporting on real news, where other sites are reporting.
Laura Logan or Laura Ingle?
Ingle. Laura Ingle.
Okay.
Was fired. Well, I think the reason they're getting rid of people is they have to, because they've just lost so much money over this lawsuit. They have to cut back. They have to cut back on everything. I think this is why they got rid of Bongino. Right now, the news is talking about the reason that they're going back and forth. Part of the agreement that wasn't in writing was that Dominion said, you got to get rid of Tucker Carlson. They do not want Tucker Carlson talking during the election cycle. They do not want that. Tucker Carlson was going to take his show to Twitter. Now I want to know how that's going to work out.
Michael Knowles referenced that today on his podcast on my way over here, mm-hmm. or on yesterday's podcast, because I heard the tail end of yesterday's and the beginning of today's. And it sounds like that's still a go, but...
Well, where else is he going to go? Because he has one out. He has a non-compete clause, so he can't go to any other.
Well,
basically,
it sounded like from what he's willing to just like forego that and like, you know what, keep your $1.6 million a month. I'm going to do what I want to do.
I don't know if they'll let him out of it. That's the problem. They do not. Yeah, it's not. They don't want him. They want to silence him. So they're like, no, we'll pay you $1.6 million so you don't talk.
But I think that's. I don't know enough to know enough, but I thought that if you decide, yeah, you know what, fine, I don't care, I'm just going to go work again. Because that's happened with, like, this is a big case, but when you had, in a local market, you would have, like, say, Larry Kane left Channel 10 News to go to Channel 3, whatever. Larry Kane is a local broadcaster in Philadelphia, okay? And he had a non-compete clause.
Yes.
You know, so the non-compete was like, they'll keep paying him. And he's like, yeah, you know what? Keep it, because the news station I'm going to is going to pay me as soon as I step in. So I'm not losing any money and I want to work. I think that's how it works. I think he can just tell them to, like, just, yeah, keep your money. I'm going to work.
I'll go to the elevator business because I've seen this happen a couple of times when I was in the business. So a big company like Otis Elevator would buy a small company and they would get the owners, I don't know, whatever it was, they would pay. And then the owners would have to sign a non-compete clause where they could not work in the market of Philadelphia for I don't know how many years. So they would sign it. Let's say it's 5. So they would go on vacation for 5 years, do whatever they want to do, because they had a boatload of money from being sold. Then after 5 years, they would start a small company and go back and take all the clients off of Otis Elevator that they used to have.
A lot of every business does that. That makes sense.
Right.
Because you got context, but media is different, especially nowadays.
Yeah. Well, they don't want Tucker Carlson talking. They don't want them to take the rest of the people from Fox News. I'll be honest with you. As far as I'm concerned, the lamestream media, it's just imploding. And that's why I want to talk to you about the boycotts.
As George Carlin said, the reason they call it the mainstream media is because they're so shallow.
Okay. I agree with that. They're not reporting the news. It's more about what they're not reporting than what they're reporting. Like right now.
Well, they create the news.
Correct. Right now in France and England and a lot of European countries, they're planning on going on a nationwide strike. Do you think that they're reporting on that here? Nope. They're not.
Well, historically, this country doesn't really follow what goes anywhere because we're so big that we're really not dependent on too much outside of this country.
I mean,
that's been a complaint that it's like soccer. Like, oh, yeah, Americans don't watch soccer. Yeah, because we got football, we got baseball, we got hockey, we got basketball. We don't need a stupid sport where you don't use your hands. It's stupid, you know, and it's boring. Oh, it was a riveting game. It was 1-1 tied.
No. Ooh. Yeah, okay. Or 0-0. It's tied. Yeah. Nil. Ooh. Ooh.
You know, but that's been a big complaint for like the last 30 or 40 years about this country is that they don't report on any real international news unless it's like a war or something like that. Anything else, we really don't care. You know, that's just the American way. Some people care, and maybe they got family over there, but by and large, who really cares? If it's a war, yeah, people care, but...
They're fighting back against the tyranny of what the government is doing as far as work relations.
Well, unions are very, very strong in France. I know that. They can bring the whole country down because they, unfortunately for them, they're like 80% unionized. So when this country, it's only like 15%. So it's like, yeah, we'll find someone to do this. We'll find someone will do this work for us. But it's all the EU, and then they all have those issues to contend with.
Yeah,
you got to contend with the guys in Brussels that are unelected, and they just make these rules by fiat, like kings and emperors.
That's exactly what they did.
Or fuckface Phil.
Fuckface Phil. Exactly. What was the latest one that he just did that really pissed me off?
You haven't moved past the bags, have you?
Yeah, I have.
He's done a shitload of stuff since the bags. But that's your line in the sand is the bags.
I'll be honest with you. Here's what happened with the bags. Dutch has sent me like 300 of those bags. She just bought them from Amazon and sent them here.
Yeah.
And now that I have those bags, I'm like, yeah, okay, I don't give a shit about anybody. Because here I am an American. Mm-hmm. It's like, fuck everybody else. I got my bags. Yeah, I don't care.
I went and bought 5,000 strolls from Amazon before the stroll ban went into effect.
Yeah.
After we talked about it on the podcast. Because there's no way I'm going to drink a vanilla shake through a paper straw. It's not happening.
And now I see that a lot of companies are going back to the plastic straw.
Yeah.
I saw Dunkin' Donuts went back to the plastic straw, but other ones are not.
Well, Dunkin' Donuts is a regional. I don't think they're nation. They might be pretty.
Well,
they're not very. I don't think they're nationwide.
They're owner operated. So, in other words, you buy a franchise.
Other franchises.
Yeah, buy a franchise.
That's a big commitment if you're a Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know if you know what that involves.
Nope.
When I was in the industry and I was dealing with a lot of Indians in this, and the fact of the matter is, okay, in this part of the country in New Jersey, there's a lot of Indians and they get into the Dunkin' Donut franchises.
Oh, yeah.
You get into Pennsylvania or West Virginia, I would go into Dunkin' Donuts there. That wasn't the case because the population's not there.
Right.
My theory is they come over from India, they rent a car where the car runs out of gas. That's where they set up shop. They're like, oh, here we are in Red Bank. You know, and that's it. You know, so they come into LaGuardia, wherever the rental car runs out of gas, that's where they move and settle.
This looks like a great place for Dunkin' Donuts.
This would be awesome. But I was talking to a gentleman because I got close with a lot of Indians in the business I was in.
Oh,
and
Dutch,
he says, I'm selling.
It's so nice to see you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Making the money. Damn right. They loved me. But he said, I'm selling the store. And I said, he had a very successful store. And he's opening a Dunkin' Donuts. And basically, when you, I forget the time frame, but when you commit to that, you're committing to opening 3 Dunkin' Donuts in, say, a 6-year period.
Three.
So, like, every 2 years, you got to open up a new Dunkin'. That's the commitment. That's why a lot of the Indians or a lot of the franchisees, everyone here, oh, the Indians doing all the Dunkin' Donuts. Well, yeah, they're willing to take the risk. They're shrewd people. They're good business people. But they're also putting a lot of money on the line, and they're committing to open up 3. You know, when you go to be a McDonald's or whatever franchisee, it's like, oh, I just want to buy one. That's it. Dunkin' Donuts makes that I don't exactly know how to do it, but contractually, you have to open up three.
Hello? Hello, Mahesh? Mahesh? Yes. How is Jagdish doing with his English? I'm opening up another Dunkin' Donuts in about 3 months, and I need somebody over here that can understand the basic donut technology and how to speak basic English. Oh, he'll be ready. He'll be ready.
He's a coming.
He is coming over, and he will be... Oh, yes, he'll be ready.
The thing that drives me crazy with Dunkin' Donuts is, and I don't know why this is, why can't I prepare my own fucking coffee? Like, you know, they say, oh, do you want cream and sugar? And I made the mistake of saying yes, and they dump gallons of creamer and sugar in it. So it got to the point, I was like, no, just put the cream and sugar on the side, and I'll make it to my liking. You know, it's just like, I drink my coffee black now, but back in the day, I was like, why can't I make my own? Why can't I mix my own shit up?
So, Tush, what you're saying is that the Indian people are so stupid they can't make a good cup of coffee?
Well, they're stupid in that sense because they're like wasting all the sugar. I mean, it was like sickeningly sweet. It was like buckets of sugar in it. I'm like, I couldn't even drink it. And I was like, I'll drink it. Can I make it myself?
I imagine you can. So,
but when you ask them, like, you get that like hairy eyeball look. Like,
well, I'll tell you something right now. There is one Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons is a Canadian company.
Burger King owns them now.
Okay. There is one Tim Hortons in New Jersey. It is in Stratford. It's on Route 30 in Stratford.
The White Horse Pike?
The White Horse Pike. It is...
What's it, across the street from the old Denny's that they closed down?
I'll tell you where it's at. It's right over by the high-speed line.
Yeah, it's near Lindenwald Station.
So, no, it's a brand new... They built this thing brand new.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Wonder what they bought...
I have no idea. Yeah. It's on the corner of Walk and Don't Walk.
Well, I'll have to investigate that, and I'll tell you what used to be there.
The issue is that they are 10 times better than Dunkin' Donuts. And if they start coming around here, they will put Dunkin' Donuts out of business. I'm serious. Their coffee's better. Their food's better. It's fresher. It's so much better than regular Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts went downhill when they stopped baking on the premises.
I think you're right.
That's when they went downhill. Because every Dunkin' Donuts, you would walk in there, it smelled like heaven because they would be baking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the old commercial. And anyone that's under a certain age, say like the age of 35, when you say time to make the donuts, they have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, that's
because in their lifetime, Dunkin' Donuts never baked donuts.
That's also why Krispy Kreme is so much better than Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, they're
because
made right there.
They're made right there.
You can watch those saturated fats being boiled into the dough and absorbed into your flesh.
When the hot light was on, I was like, oh no, the truck is making it right there.
You know what? They had a real short shelf life. Those things,
my donuts never made it to the fucking house.
When I worked for, and I had to go get donuts or whatever, so they wanted Krispy Kreme. So they had opened up three in the area. There's only one left, at least in South Jersey, to my knowledge.
Okay.
They opened up a bunch of them.
You know where that's at?
Westmont.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the only one that's left.
Okay.
So I went to Westmont. That's the one I had to go to. And our office was in Berlin at the time, so it wasn't that long of a ride. And we ordered like 3 dozen of them because every sales rep was going to be there. But see, the thing is with Krispy Kreme, it was a one-trick pony. It's one fucking donut. That's it.
Oh, you know, good.
Yeah, but see, the thing is,
Now they have different.
If you want the Dunkin' Donuts, give me a three jelly, a couple of glaze, I'll take the cinnamon. You know, you can mix it up.
Right.
I don't know about the only thing that I can eat ad nauseum and not get sick of it is pizza. I cannot sit and eat one type of donut over and over and over. I'll get sick of it. I'll just throw up and die. So, and that was the problem. So we had all these Krispy Kreme donuts and they were sitting. So after about 4 hours, I reached in to get one and it was just like it deteriorated and it didn't taste good at all.
Wow.
Those things are meant to be eaten within a half an hour when they come out of that boiling fat. That's when they're meant to be eaten.
Okay. I'm with it. I'm down with it.
They don't hold up.
Yeah. So here, you can't swing a dead cat in this area without hitting a Dunkin' Donuts. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. 5,
right.
6.
And that's exactly why, because when you commit to being a franchisee, you were going to open up three of them within a six-year period or whatever. It was a really, really fast pace. That tells me there was a shitload of money to be made in donuts and coffee.
Exactly. Here, I drive by three of them to get to the one I like, because it's run by white people.
Ooh,
and the reason
racist.
I might be racist, but what I'm saying is that the Indian people can't get a fucking coffee order right, like you said. So, and maybe
You do drive-thrus, right?
Of course.
See, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that's the problem. I don't do drive-thrus for anything. I go inside.
Do you?
I go into the bank. I go into, well, I don't use drive-thrus in restaurants. So,
no.
Yeah, I never did. But I would go into a restaurant that had a drive-up. I think that's where a lot of the miscommunication, that's where you see all the fist fights breaking out in those YouTube videos in McDonald's, is because it's always the drive-through.
I would guess so. So
you didn't get my order right. Next thing you know, guns are popping, kneecaps are splitting open. I mean, it's not good. As we should do away with that.
Yeah, but there was plenty of times where I would say, so you sit here, and I have my standard coffee order from Dunkin' Donuts. This is what I get. I get a large coffee, cream, too sweet and low. Then I get an unsweetened iced tea with one sweet and low. Large iced tea, large coffee. Matter of fact, sometimes when I pull up to the one I go to, they go large. They know me. They're like you. They would know me and they would know what I was going to get. You pull up there and you'd go, may I help you? And I'm like, fuck, here we go. So I would order and then they would go, come to window. All right, I'm coming to window. So then I would drive up and then I would get the coffee and I would take the lid off and I would look. It'd be black. And I went, did you miss the part about the cream and too sweet and low?
And then they come out with a cow. Yeah. Now, they'll put so much cream in that bitch.
So the one that's closest to me, I won't go to because it's run by the one that's over by the high school.
Oh, okay.
They have people where when they got the coffee order wrong and they would say this is wrong, they would spit through the window on the customer. We have a Facebook. We have like a...
Well, that can't be good.
We have a Facebook group for the town.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, yeah, they gave me the wrong order. I went back to it. They spit and threw the coffee at me. So I rolled up the windows. They came outside to attack me. I called the cops and said the police were coming. I wouldn't leave. The police showed up. And I don't know if they arrested them or not because the lady was doused in coffee. And, you know, they're like, well, I didn't know nothing. I fell on her. She's very clumsy, clumsy, clumsy lady.
Mm-hmm.
I won't even go there because when you drive up, it's like, may I help you? Fuck. No.
Well, it's like Genghis used to say about gas stations here because, you know, people used to say back when they were buying the gas stations up.
Yeah.
You know, people would say, I'm not buying from them. You know, I'm buying from Americans. You know, it's like. So my father is, yeah, well, you know, it's at the point now, you'll run out of gas before you find one that's owned by a white guy. So
you pull in, and all of a sudden, the guy with the turban comes walking out, and you're like,
well, that's a Sikh.
Yeah, okay, whatever. They're just as bad. I don't care what you say, whether it's a Sikh Muslim or an Indian.
Well, you have Hindus and Sikhs.
I believe it's a language barrier. They don't understand the language enough, and I can understand that. But that doesn't help me. Doesn't help me get the right coffee order.
Yeah, you can make your own coffee like I do.
Yeah, that's a good one.
For those of you listening at home, just to see the look on John's face as it collapsed as the logic blow hit him.
Dude, I have two coffee makers in this house.
And you don't touch either one of them.
One of them's behind you. The other one's upstairs. Yeah. I got to rinse
the cobwebs off of them?
Yes. Yeah, I got to take the basket out, run it under water, and then, but yes.
See, now Deuce's coffee pot is probably the cleanest thing in the kitchen because I'm always making coffee.
Yes. That's crazy.
Okay, riddle me this, Batman. How much money would you save if you never went to Dunkin' Donuts and you brewed it yourself?
Oh.
Probably about $30 a week.
Oh, at least.
So you're talking about $1.20 a month.
It's six.
So you're talking about $1,300 a year.
All right, so Mr. Wise Guy. Not Mr. Wise Guy.
Wise Guy.
Mr. Whatever you are.
Mr. Know-it-all?
I didn't want to say know-it-all.
Yeah, I know you wanted to say know-it-all. That's why you stumbled.
No, I didn't want to say know-it-all because that's not what I meant. That's okay. What kept coming to my mind. That's not what I meant.
Mr. Logical?
Mr. Logical. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Logical. So you brew coffee. How much do you think it cost you to make your coffee at home?
Probably about 30 cents.
30 cents. So you make if you make a pot of coffee, how much do you think that cost?
30 cents. I make four cups in the morning, drink all four cups. I drink it black. So I have city water. It comes out of the tap. So I'm not paying electricity for it to, you know.
Okay.
So it's a gravity-fed well, just like most of South Jersey.
So
I make 4 cups of coffee, chock full of nuts, the big giant can.
Okay.
That's probably 30 cents a day.
Okay. So for me, the order that I get when I go to Dunkin' Donuts, which is the iced tea and the coffee, is like almost $7 now. $7 a day. Now, if I go every day.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, every day.
Jesus Christ. As Gengis would say.
Yeah. Every day, if I would go and get coffee. So, what is that? That's, let's say it's $7 times five.
It's $2,555 a year.
Jesus
Christ.
Aren't
you an asshole? Whereas Deuce is spending $109.50. And that's why I have Corvettes.
Okay. All right. So I guess I'm just going to stop going to.
I would.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. I'm lazy.
Lazy.
Lazy to make my own coffee. I'm lazy. I'd rather have Mahesh make it for me. Anyhow, I have the ones where the program. You set the timer. You do it at night.
Yeah, I got that too.
Yeah, you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, coffee, it's the best. But I'm lazy. Lazy.
Yeah, it's like, that's basically everything that is wrong. Well, not, I don't want to say is wrong. Convenience is nice, but there's an over-reliance, I think, on a lot of people on convenience.
Here's another thing. Not that I'm saying this doesn't justify what I do. So since I am eating in the house now, like I said, I make my own food.
That'll save you money just doing that.
Absolutely. And it's better for you. And it makes you feel better. Okay, so let's just go with that. So basically, I go once a week to the grocery store. I pick up my groceries because I'm not going in the store. I order my groceries. They bring them out to me. I bring them back. I bring them up. I put them away. And then I make my own food. Mm-hmm. Okay. I never have to leave the house. I'm self-contained. So sometimes I just want to get out of the house and get some fresh air. So I'm like, well, you know what? I'm going to go spend $7 for a coffee and iced tea that's going to cost me at home 60 cents. Mm-hmm. Could I take coffee, put it in a thermos, make it myself, take it with me, go somewhere, sit on a park bench, enjoy the day or whatever? Yeah, absolutely, I could. But I'm out. So mm-hmm. I'm going to go over.
This would help you greatly in your undertaking. Now, do you drink black coffee at all?
No, I can't. Okay. I've tried.
You said that. But when I first started drinking coffee, it was like 8 packets of sugar, 8 creamers, just to choke it down. Now I drink it black. If you drink black coffee, not only is it 0 calories.
Absolutely.
But it's an appetite suppressant.
That's what they say.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree with you.
I drink black coffee. And where I work, there is I bring just enough food to keep from dying. Like if I start feeling faint, I'm passing out, I quickly stuff a sandwich in my mouth and I'm good till I get home. Okay.
So you're anorexic.
No, my job is very boring.
Okay.
And a lot of people bring an astounding amount of food with them because they're eating out of boredom.
Okay, so what do you do to stop yourself from being bored?
I drink coffee.
So all day long you're just drinking coffee?
Well, no, I get up at 2:30, I eat a small bowl of cereal, go to work.
Okay.
At 6:30-ish, I eat another small bowl of cereal. At 10 or 11, I eat a sandwich, and in between I just drink coffee.
Okay.
How do you think I stay so slim and trim?
No, I get it. And I'll be honest with you.
I mean, there's guys that like, they, an astounding amount. I'm talking about quarts of food. Like, they got containers. They got the whole thing. We work 12-hour shifts.
Right. So you come in, they got a big fucking
a buffet.
Cooler. Yeah, they got a cooler of food.
Yeah. And there's a cafeteria at work.
Right.
So some of these guys are going to the cafeteria Monday. The cafeteria is closed on the weekends, but Monday through Friday. You know, and then now they have to use their credit cards to buy the food. And now when they see that printed out on their monthly credit, they're astounded by the amount of food that they're consuming. One guy's, $50. That's what I spent last. Yeah, I guess you did because you went there twice. The cafeteria closes at 1. So you went for breakfast, you went for lunch. It's probably about $7 or $8 each time. So you're good for $15 to $20 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't work. We work like a law enforcement schedule, so we're not working 5 days in a row. You know, what did you think it was going to cost you?
You know, it's funny because I know you. you can polish away food. Mm-hmm. Like, you can eat a lot of food.
I can eat that cheesesteak, but then I doze off and,
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that you can eat two full large cheesesteaks and it doesn't even faze you. Mm-hmm. I've seen you tear through basically a whole pizza before.
You still can.
You can eat all that. So the fact that you use that minimal amount of food just shows me the amount of, I guess,
inner discipline, constitution.
I don't have that. Now, I'm not sitting, like, if you went upstairs and went through my cupboards, there's not a snack. My kids come here and I'm like, if you want snacks, bring them, because they're not here. I don't buy them. I don't want them. All right. My biggest problem was I live alone. I fucking hate to cook. And instead of cook, I mean, you see what's around here.
Well, people love to cook. What they hate is cleaning up.
No, that's not it. I don't like.
Most people that I talk to, that's what they say: love to cook, hate to clean up.
Okay, so what I do is I clean up as I go. As I'm doing something while it's cooking, I clean up. I hate having a big mess to clean up. I clean as I go. So now I have an air fryer. You know, I do the chicken. I can make meatloaf in it. It's only me. There's no sense in firing up a big oven for that. The air fryer works fantastic for me. So I start doing that. The problem I have is the prep. You know, cutting everything up, getting everything ready.
Why do you think I didn't go into the pizza business?
Exactly. Right now, the amount of money that I'm saving by making my own food, not going out into fast food and all, now that I'm not allowed to get coffee anymore. Now that, again, you do make sense. I have two coffee makers here. One behind you that's probably been used three times. And the one upstairs, I can't remember the last time I used it. All right. And I get an ear lashing from Samantha, because she says, why don't you make your own coffee? She says you have everything. She says you buy half and half cream, which takes like 2 months for it to go bad.
Yeah.
And you go to say, oh, it's bad. And I open up the lid and there's the top's still on it. The seal is still on.
Is it all bloated like it's about to explode?
In fact, there is two half and halves in the refrigerator behind you that are bloated like a tick because it's over. So I just have to get back into doing that.
And when I was single and Diane moved in after we got married, she was appalled at how little I had in the house.
Oh.
You know, because it was basically a jar of mayonnaise, tuna fish, Captain Crunch, milk, bread, and ramen noodles.
Yeah.
And she was like, I can't believe this. I said, I got a pair of keys, and I got a set of car keys, and I have a mother. I'll never starve to death if I'm really, really hungry.
Right, but what
was you? Because mom will always feed you.
Yeah, but how many times did we go to Kaminsky's during the week?
Well, that was for drinking.
No, was it?
Well.
We used to eat there all the time. I ate there all the time. I don't remember you. I don't remember having a meal somewhere and you not eating.
Just having liquid bread?
Yeah. I've never seen that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're there, but.
Right.
But there was no food in my house either.
Right. I'm just saying, back then, that's what we did.
What did we go to Kaminsky's? Maybe once a week?
Okay, I would say twice.
I'm lying.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know that we would go once during the weekend, at least once on the weekends.
Yeah, dude, we were probably good at, we probably averaged three times a week.
Three or four times a week.
Back then, we were young and hot, hip, and happening. We had to go out.
Yeah. Why? Because there wasn't anything to do at home. Okay, so.
Well, you're cruising for chicks.
Okay, so here's the other thing. So now you got married. Mm-hmm. You have a wife that's an excellent cook, that loves to cook, that makes food for you. I am still single.
Mm-hmm.
All right, nobody making any meals over here for me. So if I had somebody that was going to make me lunch at dinner, of course I would never go out and eat Taco Bell, Taco Bell or McDonald's.
Donuts for dinner.
Donuts for dinner. God damn it, that's the name of this episode. Donuts for dinner. Where the fuck do I write that down at? Where's my pen? Donuts for dinner. Because today is National Donut Day. I don't know if you knew
is
that.
Is it really?
It is National Donut Day. And I say that to say
how
this.
How apropos.
So today, because I haven't been out of this house in 4 days, at least, maybe five, I said, you know what? I'm going to get up. I'm going to go get a cup of coffee and an iced tea. I'm going to go spend my $7. So I go.
My hard-earned $7.
So I go to Dunkin' Donuts through the drive-thru, and the person says, I pull up and they go, large coffee. No. There's white people here. Actually, white people here.
Oh.
So, go ahead. Do you have music? Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. So I pull up.
It's the only white people music I can think of.
There you go. It works for me. So I pull up and I get coffee and she goes, that's it? I go, yes. She goes, it's National Donut Day. I go, I know. But here's the problem. I'm on a diet and I don't want a donut. So she goes, all right, no problem. So I go pulling around. I have the app on my phone. Of course I do, where you have the payment and everything. So I go to the payment, and I'm ready to go. So I go to her to give it to her. She goes, oh, the free donut thing's on your thing. So I look over. It's like, hey, you didn't order it. You get a free donut. I'm like, yeah, I know I forgot a free donut, but I don't want the free donut.
Was there a guy behind me?
Yeah, what do you mean to want the free donut? Everybody get the free donut.
Did they spit on you and throw the donut on top of you? Spike the donut into your car?
What do you mean you don't want that donut? You fascist!
You'll take this donut and like it.
Yeah, here's your donut, fat man. So, yeah, I mean, it's trying to get to those National Donut Day. Fuck you with that music. So funny. I hate you and I love it all at the same time. All right.
Then Emily used to like say that like whenever I would play that, she didn't want to laugh. She was conflicted when you guys were doing Hate the Weight.
You're picking up my buddy John, but it's so funny. All right. Let's get off the donuts for a second.
Donut.
Ready?
Changing the subject now.
All right. I need a hand here because thank you very much. Thank you very much. I need to pour one out, and I can't find it on my soundboard. You got one to pour one out?
Man, that was your territory.
Damn it.
That was
your... Fuck. All right. So anyhow, we got to pour one out.
You can drop that in the post-production.
Sorry about that. Yeah. All right, Deuce. We got to pour one out right here. All right. Who sung the song, You've Lost That Love and Feeling?
The Everly Brothers.
The Everly Brothers. X. Correct. Do you know who wrote the song?
Well, not the Everly Brothers.
Not the Everly Brothers.
Well, if I had to guess, it'd have to be one of the great 60s songwriters like Carole King or...
Absolutely not.
Sedaka.
And if somebody was a good show producer, they would have put the article in here where the name was.
Oh, so now it's my fault.
No, mine. My fault. But anyhow...
Who wrote it?
She's lost that loving feeling.
She's lost... No, she hasn't.
Yes, she has.
She has not lost that love...
Goose, she's lost it.
Matt, come on. I hate it when she does that.
The woman, whose name I forget and don't have, who wrote You Lost That Loving Feeling, passed away today at 82. Mm. So I was like, wow.
And it wasn't Carole King, huh?
Was not Carole King. Hang on. Fuck, I got to do this on the fly. I hate when I have to do that. I'll just put you lost, fucker. You lost that.
I think it's you've.
Whatever.
John's doing right, hang on with English. You lost that. No, it's you've lost.
You've lost that love and feeling. All right, who sung it? All right, wait a minute. Hold on. God damn it. Here we go. Start that music again.
Marker's down.
You lost that.
Since we have
to. No. Who wrote? God, I type like a faggot. All right, here we go.
Hey.
For Pride Month.
Got to watch that because the gay stopper will come out for you.
Cynthia Weil, songwriter with decades of hits. Decades?
Yeah, sure. Before the Beatles came along, they all made their living doing that shit.
Cynthia. Fucking fat,
like
lazy.
A Sly in the Family Stone. Cynthia! Dance to the music.
She wrote... Wow, You Lost That Love and Feeling. She wrote, We Got to Get Out of This Place. Mm-hmm.
The Animals.
Right.
Covered it.
She wrote Through the Fire, which was Chaka Khan. She died at 82. No cause was given. My mother.
Well, she was 82. Jesus Christ, John. How long are you supposed to go on?
My mother, Cynthia.
Again, John's daily struggle with English. John versus English.
English is the undefeated
John fought the English and the English won.
Was a great mother, grandmother, and wife our family could ever ask for. She was my best friend, confidant, and my partner in crime, and an idol and trailblazer for women in music.
Yeah.
Yep, going at 82.
Yeah, that's like the downside of when something revolutionary happens, is there's going to be losers. And songwriters, when the Beatles came out and hit it big and they just decided they were going to write all their own music, like all of a sudden, like Carole King and, you know, Paul Anka and Cynthia, like they found themselves, because then everyone wanted to be like the Rolling Stones, and they'd be like, well, we'll write our own songs too. Prior to that, you know what, Carol, I remember talking about this. I don't know if it was on this podcast or not. You know, the Monkees, Pleasant Valley Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Carole King wrote that.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
And she did the demo in 1965. And the Monkees wound up covering it a couple of years later when the show came out. And Carole King's version is actually better.
I didn't know that.
Probably my favorite Monkees song is that song. And that's probably why, because I didn't know. That's just because Carole King wrote it. It was so good. You go on YouTube, you can pull it up.
Hang on.
Yeah, but Carole King had the musical chops. She could sing. So when she came out with the Tapestry album in the 70s, that made her a superstar.
Keep talking. I'm typing over here.
So, you know, if you, it's a little bit shorter than the Monkees version was. Yeah, there's a demo out there. And that's just the demo, and the demo sounds pretty good.
All right, here we go. All right, so here's the demo. Let me see if this will work.
Hopefully there's no ad.
You jerk off. All right.
And of course there's an ad.
Edit point. 15 fucking seconds. This is the problem I have with YouTube. Yeah. I want to watch a fucking 1 minute video. All right, hang on. Here we go.
2 minutes and 33 seconds.
All right, let's turn this back on again. I agree. It's a lot better.
You know what that song is about? Trivia question.
She used to go to Pleasant Valley on Sunday.
Her and her then husband, they lived in one of the new suburbs, because the suburbs were a new thing back then. Levittown, New York, Levittown, Pennsylvania, Levittown, New Jersey, which later turned into Willingboro. And the name of the street was Pleasant Valley Way. And basically, it's like rows of houses that all look the same. No one cares. You know, that's what it's all about, here in status symbol land, because that was when the Exodus was coming, and she was lamenting like how shallow and vapid it is to live in the suburbs.
Yeah.
That was a social commentary at the time.
It's nice now, though, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, well, compared to crime-ridden cities run by communists and Democrats.
But then I repeat myself.
I know what I can do.
You got all these people in the chat. Are anybody asking questions?
I'm sure there are.
You have shunned the chat.
I have shunned the chat. Let me see. As I'm watching this, I can see Duchess. She has her camera on. So her hands are waving as this all goes.
So we're like, what, 50 minutes in and you've taken?
Yes, 50 minutes
Boy, are her hands tired.
Duchess says, white people music is appropriate for John's area. Tell them you're allergic. Okay. Chimes, or I'm not going to say his name because I can't even pronounce it. Listen, you got to change your name to something that I can pronounce, like George or something.
What's it loaded with consonants?
It's BBX Cheems, I think is how it would go. BBX Cheems. He wrote, someone clip that. I type like a faggot. Oh, he says, clip, I type like a faggot. That's what he says.
If you don't, somebody will.
Of course. Judas Priest's version of Diamonds and Rust is better than Joan Baez's version. I don't know about that, but that's a boomer bomb.
Well, sometimes that happens where the original is not as tasty as the cover version.
Maybe. All right, here's another one from BBX Cheems. How's Joe and Jimmy? Well, I know how Jimmy is, but how's Joe?
Joe is fine. He's, like I had mentioned before, he unfortunately has to go back to Camden to work now that COVID's over, so he's actually going to the office. But Joe's smart. He goes in at like 5 in the morning before the locals get up, and then he's out of there by 3.
Okay.
So, you know.
Before they, yeah.
Before the rampaging crime release. Because criminals get up around noon. They got to go to Dunkin' Donuts, get a $7 coffee.
It's $3.50. It's only 7 because I get an iced tea also.
And, no, but he's doing very well.
Yes. Well, that's good. All right. So
he should
now
get a new car, but he's doing very
well. What car does he? He's not. There's no way he's still driving the El Camino.
Oh, no. He sold that to a guy I work with. No, he bought like a 2010 Cobalt. Still okay. Has it. I mean, if you're going to drive that in the Camden, that's fine, you know, but a man of his station and status, he should be driving around in a Bentley.
Okay, so what I did was I have another browser up, which the people should be able to hear. And now I will play the Carole King version of Pleasant Valley Sunday. Here we go. Fuck, it still can't hear it. What the hell?
What the hell, man?
What the hell? What the hell? Hang on, I'll fix this on the fly, because that's the shit I do here. Brave browser. I don't know. It seems like it should be right. You should be able to hear this.
Did you hit the USB advanced audio?
No, hang on a second. Let me see. It's weird. Now it's working. I didn't touch a fucking thing.
It's magic.
Now it's working.
Fucking magic.
All right. Let's start over because I love the beginning of it. I have to say.
The local rock group down the street is trying hard to learn their song. They serenade the weekend squire.
It only works when I'm talking. It works and then it doesn't work. I don't know.
Sporadic working.
All right. Fuck it. I will put it in post.
Drop that
so
in
that you can hear it.
All
right. So now, since you can't hear that, you won't hear this. So now what I want to do is I want to play the original. I got to tell you, back in the mid-60s to late-60s, kind of gay. The fashion. It looks like Davy Jones is wearing a fucking drapery or a bedspread.
Yeah, but everyone wore that.
So. I understand that, but I'm just saying it's like really, really gay to me. And when I mean gay, I don't mean like homo. I mean gay like.
What else does it mean?
I mean like sissy.
Well, in the 1960s, they didn't use those
I'm not saying
gay.
I'm not saying they suck dick or take one in
the
ass.
They were queer back then.
Yeah, I'm not saying that.
Gay was a late 70s thing.
And here's another thing about Davy Jones. He's got two caterpillars, one over each eye. I mean,
he's dead now.
He has the thickest, blackest eyebrows I've ever seen in my entire life.
Well, that's because back then men didn't do that. Now you got these metrosexuals like you that are like grooming their eyebrows.
No. Listen, the only reason I take and cut my eyebrows is I got old man eyebrows and the hair grows out. The next thing I know, it's poking me in the fucking eye.
So you look like Thufir Hawat from Dune?
Look, I took a comb and I usually have my daughter do it. I took a comb, I tried it, and I missed, and I took half an eyebrow off. Excuse me, but that's what happened. So, yeah, every once in a while, I take them off because what happens is they get into my line of vision, and I can't see. You got to cut an old guy a break with his eyebrows. It's not like it's not the same.
Is she shaving your back down, too?
No. How dare you?
Some things daughters should just not do.
Exactly. Here we go. I told her, I said, if you ever have to change a diaper for me, you have a permission to take a plastic bag.
I just go to Canada. They'll kill you.
And hold it over my head until I die.
You don't have to be terminally ill in Canada no more. They'll just kill you.
All right. Put a pin in that. We'll get to that.
M-A-I-D.
Yeah.
What's that, live?
It's the original video.
Okay. Because that's a faster tempo than the one we've been listening to. So I was wondering if it was live.
It says Pleasant Valley Sunday original video.
Okay. So then she did a video after she cut the demo. Then.
No, this is the Monkees.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, this is the Monkees.
Wow, it sounds kind of feminine. I thought it was Carole King singing.
What did I just say? I just told you. Look,
just commenting on the clothes and the eyebrows. Mickey Dolan sung it, not Davy Jones.
I know. I'm watching it.
Yeah.
So
he was the drummer.
I know.
And he appeared in Humanoids from the Deep.
That I didn't know.
We want to see a fantastic set of real titties. You know, that's the movie to watch. Really? Humanoids from the Deep. It's about 1981.
Oh, was it when they first started showing real titties on film?
Well, you know, when we got cable, that's like we were watching cable for. Like, well, this says nudity. Let's watch it.
Yeah, of course.
So, Humanoids from the Deep.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. You know, I got to tell you. I got to go. You know what? You're absolutely right, Deuce.
As usual.
That's a better version of Pleasant Valley. The Carole King version is way better than the Monkees.
Yeah. I mean, I became aware of it a couple of years ago. I had no idea that Carole King wrote it. I knew when the Monkees first came out, other people were doing that.
They were kind of the first
somehow
band.
I went down a rabbit hole on the Monkees, and then we all knew that other people were writing their music or playing the instruments. And then there was famous people that auditioned to be on the show, like Graham Nash from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Obviously, he did way better later by not being in the Monkees. But then they had mentioned like people that had wrote songs for him, and Carole King's name popped up, and I was intrigued. And then I found out that it was that song, which was my favorite Monkees song. I was like, well, check that out. That's probably why it's my favorite.
Bob says, that would be a monkey hole, not a rabbit hole. Bob's always funnier in the chat. I don't know why that is, but he's always funnier in the chat.
You give Bob a hard time.
Of course I do.
Needlessly.
He talks over me during the Boomer Bunker. That's why I have this.
Is that the PIA? Is that the Police?
No, it's a band. It sounds like the Police. I thought it was the Police.
Sounds like the Police or the Outfield.
But no, it's a name of a band that I've never heard before. I don't know the name of the band. Bob, if you know what the name of the band is, please put it in the chat. But I kind of like the fact that we have some people in the chat here that we can, you know, that are chatting along as we do this.
So, you're saying you wanted to do something with boycotts? You're talking about boycotts or
yes.
Something. You had mentioned
it. The name of the band is Gotye, G-O-T-Y-E. You know what that reminds me of?
The eye, no problem. Fuck, where is it? I goddamn it. Right,
never mind.
Sounds like you've been smoking your whole life.
Zip tie. From the planet Zigzag.
Yeah, that's like when I had my store and somebody would come in and they would hold that mic right up against their throat.
Yeah, Cancer Gazoo.
And they would order a pack of cigarettes and you're like, oh, I'm so conflicted right now. I was like,
really, dude?
That was a person I would never see before. They would walk in and they would order a pack of cigarettes with the Cancer Gazoo, like you said. And it's just like, and you feel like hitting them, like, dude, you.
Really?
What's it going to take?
Well, you know, again, so at that point, it's like, I have a Cancer Gazoo. I'm going to die of cancer. Am I going to stop smoking now? Of course not. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. As I take my last dying breath, my last exhale will be that sweet, sweet
nicotine.
Nicotine cloud. Yes.
Give me those Chesterfields.
fuck those filters. Give me a Lucky Strike, a Chesterfield, or a Camel. Let's go for the gusto. All righty. So, yeah, that was a little side jaunt off of there. All right, so the boycotts. What's your stance on the boycotts as far as, like, Target, Bud Light, and now Chick-fil-A? I have my own.
Well, I'm all – I know your thoughts. I heard them before, but I'm this is how they learn. You know, this is how – you got to make this, like, You know, Michael Jordan had the best philosophy with Air Jordans when they wanted him to be more pro whatever somebody wanted him to be pro, and he wouldn't do it. And then they asked him why, and he said Republicans buy sneakers too.
Okay, I agree with you there, but let's just start with Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Chick-fil-A is a very Christian, right-leaning, traditional marriage. I don't want to say anti-gay, but not pro-gay. So we know that company, the leadership from that company is that way. And the fact that they have now a DEI person that they hired, and now everybody's upset, and now they want to boycott. All these corporations are between a rock and a hard place. They need capital. They need to be able to borrow capital.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is ESG. Equity.
That's absolutely the problem.
They don't want to do this. They don't want to do this. They have to do it.
But if you set the Wayback Machine with Chick-fil-A,
yes.
Basically, that was an interview with Truett Cathy's son or grandson.
Yes.
Truett Cathy founded the company. And he mentioned that because the so-called debate on gay marriage was going on at that time.
Correct.
It really wasn't a debate, but that's what they called it. So it wasn't about Chick-fil-A, the interview itself. It was an interview with him in it, and he had mentioned that that's what he believes.
His personal beliefs.
So then the left, who loves to boycott.
Love.
They'll go after if you're a broadcaster they'll go after your sponsors, what have you, whatever.
Yes.
And they organized a boycott. If you remember Huckabee, the former
Governor of Arkansas.
Governor of Arkansas and the presidential candidate. I can't think of his first name right now. But he organized to support Chick-fil-A on August the 1st.
Mike Huckabee
in 2014.
Thank you, Duchess.
People, I was there. I ate at like 3 Chick-fil-A's that day. You know, that particular day I was running errands. Every Chick-fil-A, I drove by 5 Chick-fil-A's, and they were lined up like they were going to see Ben-Hur. And it was a success. What the left likes to do is very insidious. It got to the point that if they wanted to open up a new location, they would come out in full force, and Chick-fil-A couldn't open up any more spots.
Right.
You know, not out of the South anyway. If they wanted to go into New York City, they got a lot of pushback. If they wanted to go into Portland, Oregon, they got a lot of push, but they weren't able to open up anywhere.
The one I remember is an airport. They wanted to open up a Chick-fil-A in an airport, and it would not let them because of their...
New York City didn't want it at all.
Right.
That was a big one, New York City.
You know what? New York City doesn't deserve Chick-fil-A.
No.
That's what I'll tell you right now. You assholes over in New York, you sit there and keep voting for these people that fuck you over time after time after time again. I don't feel sorry for anybody over. I don't feel sorry for anybody in New York.
Right. Because that happened... Then I don't know if you ever saw, it's very cringeworthy to watch. Back in a couple of years ago, whoever's running the company now, he's on stage talking about a shoe shining incident.
Yes.
Okay. It was very cringy, you know, because basically if they wanted to open up any stores, they had to bend the knee to the fealty of the ESG world and, you know, and then they were able to like it. Well, that's the problem is once you kowtow to them, then you're done. You know, I'm pretty sad what happened to Chick-fil-A, so it's just another thing that I won't be participating in.
So I saw the video, and he's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did was he said, you know what, I want to do what Christ did. I will bathe the feet of a... Whoa, what? Well, yes, I'm sorry. This black gentleman right over here, I will bathe his filthy feet.
I don't think Jesus said that.
No.
That's how you opened it up.
This lazy needs a foot wash. And take your shoes off, you stinking filthy. And I will wash your feet.
What cable service do you have? Because I didn't see that video.
All right. I might have taken a little poetic license on what happened.
You know, it's like the same thing happened with Walmart. When Sam Walton died, all the shit that they're caving into now, that wouldn't have happened. But what happens is leftists get their foot in there, like what happened with Disney. It's like Men in Black, when the alien comes down and like the exterminator, like the alien eats him and it just shambles around in his skin.
Yes.
You know, like, you know, that's basically what leftism is. They hollow out these institutions like Disney and Chick-fil-A and Walmart, and they're trading in on the trust that was built up over generations. I mean, it's insidious. I mean, they made they call it the slow march through the institutions. That's why this is all coming to a head now.
Yes.
Because Donald Trump said, you think about it, if not for Reagan and Donald Trump, where we're at now, we would have been at like 16 years ago.
Yeah. Gordon changed his name. He changed his name in the chat. Thank you so much, Gordon. He says, Jesus said, I never said. My son, I don't use.
But that's how it's so insane. I mean, there's a lot of places I'm not giving my money to anymore, but that's how they learn. You know, you got to deprive them of their money. Some things are easy for me to give up, like Bud Light, which is, as we know, weasel piss. I never drank it.
Okay, but let's stick with, I want to stick with Chick-fil-A for a second, because we know that this is a conservative Christian business. And the reason that they're doing this is because they have to. They have to do this. The right is now up in arms, and they're just looking to everybody. You just say that you're going to do anything with DEI or gay pride or anything like that. You know, it's fuck you. We're not going to. When the left tried to, you know what? We're going to boycott Chick-fil-A, and we're going to put them out of business. It didn't even slow them down. I was hoping that all these left-leaning, communist Democrats.
But then I repeat myself.
Would stop going to Chick-fil-A so the fucking line wouldn't be so long. I was hoping, but it never did.
No, because what they do, they go into the back doors and they take over the a marketing group, or they get their claws in the ESG is the new thing. Where I work, I mean, it's all over the place.
Okay.
Meritocracy is dead.
You know? All right. So what is a company to do? They need the capital. They have to do something. They have to comply to get the capital. If not, they're going to die. So if the right keeps boycotting
places
like...
Well, what you have to do is... go ahead.
You have to... stop.
Go ahead, say it. Is that the police?
No, it's go tie. Anyhow, so they have to do something. So what I think we have to do is we have to support the companies that we know are right-leaning, even though they have a certain thing that they have to do. They have to do it. They have to do it because they need the money. Where I say we go after them is where we go after someone like Disney, who's indoctrinating children, or Target, where they put everything out front and made it all about pride. Target's, I said this on the Boomer Bunker, Target's fucked because they're getting it from both ends now. The conservatives won't shop there because they had the stuff there for pride and it was up front. And they were rubbing their nose in
it. And the Satan stuff.
And the Satan stuff. So they moved it to the back of the store. They got rid of the Satan stuff. Now, the left is like, well, I'm not going there now because you caved. Mm-hmm. You caved.
What they should have done is not even engaged in it.
Right.
That's what they should have done.
But then you're... So then the left says...
But because of BlackRock and Vanguard...
Exactly. So that's where our fight is, with BlackRock.
But I think I forget the last number. Some states, they've banned that shit. Yeah.
Some states
hasn't happened. Right. And the problem is, and the issue is because the right doesn't run the government right now. You know, we're out of power. We got like a 1 or 2 seat majority in the House. That ain't going nowhere. And the Senate's still a 50-50 split. And Kamala Harris is the tie-breaking vote. So nothing's going to happen there. You got to hope that you win at the ballot box. And you pass laws against that. What these 25 states passed in those states... You got to pass at a federal level. You can't have ESG because, we mentioned it before, they're taking your hard-earned money, what you invested in, and they're taking you out of what you want to be invested in, fossil fuels and pharmaceuticals or whatever. And like, no, John, you're now going to be invested in green energy, which doesn't pay dick.
Yeah, we're going to take and destroy your 401k.
Right, because we want to like fund our agenda. And that's where 25 or 26 states have banned that. It's like, yeah, it's not happening. That has to happen at the federal level. In the interim, you got to teach these companies that this is toxic and there's repercussions.
I couldn't disagree with you more. And I'm going to use Chick-fil-A for my example because BlackRock and Vanguard are like, oh, you want to make the stock go down by 25%? That's fine by me. We'll go and we'll buy it when it hits rock bottom. We'll buy it. it'll come back up again, and we'll make a shit ton of fucking money on this.
So what are you saying? Do nothing? They're going to do that regardless. There's always going to be, it doesn't have to be this. There's always going to be a downturn in the market.
We're attacking.
That's how the whole market works.
We're attacking the victims. We have to attack the aggressors. We have to attack BlackRock, and we have to attack Vanguard. So, okay, how do we do that? The money that they are using to fuck us over is the money we're giving them through pensions, state pensions, union pensions, those kind of things. People with
their union pension, you really have no control over.
Well, you have control over the union, so you can go in there and say,
my 401k, I could say, oh, the company is using BlackRock or Vanguard. I'll take the money out of my 401k. As fast as it's coming in, I'll have it withdrawn and thrown. I'll get the employer match. It can be done. You can get the money in your 401k, get your employer match, and then once a year, you just take the money out and you just transfer it over to your own IRA and then just start over.
Okay.
It's a pain in the dick, but you know what?
But we need more people to start doing that so that they can.
Well, people are lazy and they like convenience, as
we said. Of course. That's why I go to.
Costing you $2,550 a year for fucking coffee and do suspend at $109.
I always look like the asshole in these stories, but okay.
It's what I live for.
I understand that. But
what you're saying is, okay, because this is happening and Vanguard and BlackRock are going to capitalize on it, we should do nothing. I don't understand.
Okay, so what I'm saying, okay.
What you have to do is like go after these people, punish them, and make them think twice or three times. And say, you know what? I don't know if I want to lose 25% of my business week over week, and be $17 million down on my cap.
Okay. What I'm saying that you are basically saying to do is this. Somebody has a gun to someone's head, and they say, you will do this, or I will kill you. And you're blaming the person that is under duress and being attacked. You're blaming them. You're not blaming the person with the gun.
To use your analogy, you're making it sound like the person under duress walked up to a person and said, hey, put a gun to my head. That's not what's happened. That's what these companies did. They should have known, if anyone has a modicum of thought. See, this is the problem. You live in a bubble, you know, the cultural bubble.
No, I don't.
No, I'm not saying you. These companies, they live in these cultural bubbles and are being hit with this, meritocracy is dead, everything's got to be equity, inclusion, and diversity, all this nonsense. And then the ESG score, you know.
Nobody knew about it.
You start to, well, now everyone knows about
it. No, they don't. But say, I guarantee you 1 in 4 people even know what ESG is.
I don't know. I think it's more, I give people more credit than that.
Okay, let's say half the people know because most of the people
have to be conservatives and they know.
And they know. All right? You're stupid, dumb fucking
Democrats.
Communist Democrats.
What did I repeat myself?
They don't know about ESG or even better yet, they're like, why don't you want to be part of equity, diversity, and inclusion?
Because you're a hater.
Yeah.
Because that's the worst thing that you could be called in this country is a racist or a hater.
No, it's not. You know what it is? Nobody wants that. This is the worst thing you'd be called is a... Now, the funny thing is, I haven't said a word. All I do is do... And every time I think I do this, you think that I'm saying... And you know what I'm talking about. That's how stupid this is. Mm-hmm. I can't say the word, but if I say, you know what, you dumb, then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, he said a racial slur. No, I didn't. I pushed a button. You stupid fucking.
See, the whole thing, it's like, it just smacks of, which I never agreed with, but on a lot of levels was libertarianism because it's just stupid.
They want to do nothing or they don't want anybody to do anything.
They never offer a solution. You right. Know, they. You know, it's like they always.
Sorry, Jerry.
They portray it as, you know, like they're above it all. You know, basically, they whine and they bitch and they cry, but they never offer a solution.
And they don't want to go in and do the work.
You know, so it's like George Carlin. You know, I'm just paraphrasing it. You know, but George Carlin had a great quote on it. It was just basically it's another bullshit philosophy because it sounds like it's dangerous and it's risky and it puts them like they're above the fray, like they're sitting like the love guru in the lotus position just levitating above us all, and they're just passing like these, but they never offer a solution. Their right. Whole thing is like, oh, just do what the fuck you want. Well, that's anarchy. That's not freedom. That's like anarchy is what that is.
Yeah, we are being suppressed little by, again, they're turning up the heat. We're frogs in a pot of water. They're turning up the heat until they boil us and kill us all. I've been saying this for years, that this is all about depopulation, that they want to get the population of the world down to 500 million, where it could be sustainable, manageable, and they want to get rid of all the well, except for the smart ones and the ones that can dunk a basketball. Whoops.
But it's just I mean, it's going to be a problem that we have to hope that the next election will rectify, and this, they have to put a stop to this, because that's just another form of the governor.
Who's going to put a stop to this?
That we have to hope that we can take, we meaning conservatives or Republicans, can take the House, take the Senate, and take the White House, and you pass a law like these 26 other states did and says, we're not having this shit. None of this ESG score shit. You know, people should be able to invest their money in whatever company they want to invest it in.
Okay.
That's it. Plain and simple.
But again, the people that have half of the money, between Vanguard and BlackRock, I think they have 3/4 of all the money in circulation.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So they already had the money before this all started.
I know, but they got
they're
you
the
by,
biggest.
They got you by the balls.
But you can. But they're not all doing that. Like I said, Vanguard, you know what? I'm taking my money out. I'm going to Fidelity, or I'm going to Voya, or I'm going to American Funds. There's options out there. You're making it sound like they're just so monolithic that there's only one company to buy from. There's, okay, granted, a couple of them are doing this stuff, but there are options out there.
All right, so
you have to have the wherewithal to like investigate it.
Okay, so I agree with that. And right now we're having a parallel economy start. And there is somebody, and I thought it might have been Vivek Ramaswamy, the guy that's also running for president, mm-hmm. who I like a lot. Mm-hmm. God damn, when he starts speaking, I'm like, yeah, that, more of that. Yes, yes. But he can't get any traction. It's a sin, because I really think this guy.
Well, how many declared candidates are there now?
I
can only think of about 8 or 9.
You've got Scott.
Ramaswamy.
Nikki Haley.
DeSantis.
Trump. 5. And then
Pence just declared, or he's 6. About to.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's just
he's a milk toast.
Chris Christie say he's going to go again.
In all honesty, I think he's going to come in and try to Mark Rubio Trump. I think he's going to try to do to. Nah. I do. Well, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Let's put this in the book and see what happens.
I think he has to know he hasn't got a shot.
He doesn't want to have a shot. No, he wants to come in there. He's going to come in there and do to Trump what he did to Mark Rubio, which was basically commit suicide and also take Mark Rubio out during the debates. That's what I think he's going to come in and do. I think he's going to come in.
Yeah, but Christie didn't even last as long as Rubio did, if my memory is correct.
He basically
I think Christie was out before Rubio was.
He might have been. I don't know. I don't remember. But I know that whatever he said to Mark Rubio basically ended his.
I think he's vying up attorney general. Because that's what he was before he was governor of New Jersey. He was a good attorney general in Jersey.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
His first 3 years he was all right until his head exploded.
I listened to Christie talk on a podcast called The Ruthless Podcast. And he was on there for an hour and he was talking about Trump and all this stuff and how he went to, you know, he was part of the debate team. Like he went in and he was one that prepped Trump for the debate.
Yeah, they think that might have been the problem.
Really? Well, okay, maybe. I don't know that, but
well, because Trump's whole attack method was don't let Joe Biden finish speaking. Just keep peppering him and peppering him and peppering him. And that's saved Biden, because when left to his own devices and he has to extrapolate on his thought process and then he wanders off the into the ether, you know, and he goes, maybe if people had saw that, they'd say, oh, this guy doesn't fucking have it at all.
Well, he doesn't. What
do you remember about Joe Biden debating Paul Ryan in 2012?
Romney?
You didn't see that debate?
No.
His whole thing was, and basically liberals do this as a mark. It's their way of debating. If you go out back and watch that, like every time Ryan would start speaking and make a point, he would start laughing. Remember, they were calling him the Joker, and there was all the memes done up as like Joe Biden in the Batman, as the Jack Nicholson Batman makeup. He just laughed and cackled.
He dismissed him.
Yeah, exactly. It's a dismissive prop. You know, well, Biden was on his game back then. He wasn't crazy. But they say that was Chris Christie's fault. because that's what he told Trump to do. Had he let Biden just wander off into the ether, it might have been a different outcome.
I'm looking forward to the debates this year. And really what I'm looking for...
You think you're going to see Joe Biden debate?
Of course not.
It'd be a miracle if that happened.
No, of course not. The Democrats have all... what are they going to do?
They're going to run a basement campaign
like
they did the last time.
He can't do that this time because he's got a record to run on. He's got a record to run on, and they can pound and pound on...
I don't know. The broad that ran for New Mexico, she did the same thing Biden did. She just didn't. She just never came out.
That's New Mexico.
But she had a record to run on, too, because she was the attorney general.
But it's a blue state. This isn't a blue country.
Arizona's not really... Did I say New Mexico? I think it was Arizona.
Oh, Arizona. Arizona's problem was... Well, Arizona... I'll go back to my thing where Republicans are stupid. Arizona, what... They did was they said, don't mail in vote, wait, go to the polls. And once they went to the polls, there was all kinds of fucking problems and a lot of people couldn't vote.
One county, Maricopa County.
One county. And which county
runs that? Well, which party runs that?
The Democrats.
What a surprise.
What a surprise. So what the Republicans are saying, hey, you know what? Now we have to do what they do. We have to vote early. We have to do voter. What's it when you go collect the votes and take
harvesting?
Vote harvesting where it's allowed.
Get the unions to do that for you?
Yeah. Yeah. We got to start doing vote harvesting. We got to do everything that they do to get the vote out. But they're saying that the Republican Party doesn't have the apparatus or the boots on the ground
to
do it.
Not in the big cities, they don't. That's why machine politics works in the big cities because you got one party rule.
Okay.
You got the unions in there, you got one party rule. And it's very, very easy to canvass and harvest votes.
I remember when I would go to the union meetings when I was in the elevator business, that they would come in and say, okay, we need to vote for this Democrat. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, why are you telling me about this? It's none of your fucking business who I vote for. Mm-hmm. You know, why would I vote for him? You know, why do I care what you think? But, you know, people need to belong.
That's why they passed a law about that, and the Supreme Court upheld it.
Really? Well, that's good.
Yeah, it was like because unions were like just giving money and like, wait a minute, I don't agree with this. Why are you giving? I don't want my dues given that way. So yeah. I'll back out. I think I told this story before. My cousin lives in Philadelphia. He listens and he moved. He reversed the process. He moved back to Philadelphia. That's where my family's from. He moved back into the district that my great uncle lived in. They both have the same name. My great uncle died in 1999, and every year since he's lived there, he goes to vote and he gives his name and they say, oh, which one are you? And he always tells them, well, he's dead. That's my great uncle. He died in 1999. I'll bet you he's voted in every election since then. Can you prove it? Or is there a way to go, God only knows, but why is he still on the voting rolls? He's been dead 24 years at this point. And if that's just one person, that's anecdotal, but it's my family. Right. So if that's going on, how many other people is it going on for?
The house I live in has been a rental property now for 25 to 30 years. When they did mail-in voting, I received...
You mean absentee? Oh, okay.
No, mail-in
the
voting.
The recent with COVID, yeah.
I received three ballots to this address. Three. Mm-hmm. I tore two of them up, and I voted with mine. What if I wanted to vote Republican?
Do you think that hasn't happened?
What's that?
Yeah, do you think that hasn't happened? I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah, of course it has.
Yeah.
Of course it has.
But no one sees a problem with this.
Look, politics is so dirty, it's ridiculous. And
it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't, but
everything
it is.
That's required to clean it up is one party is against because they can't steal elections. All they needed was to get five counties in 2022.
Well, look what happened in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, you couldn't change the voting laws unless... You could not do what they did.
Broke the law.
They absolutely broke the law. Then they went to take it to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court, either they didn't look at it or they said it was okay. Then they took it to the U.S. Supreme Court. And so the U.S. Supreme Court said, we ain't touching this piece of stuff.
Well, it's not their purview.
So now what?
It becomes like,
how does that happen?
That's what they count on because we don't have enough time to challenge the process.
No. Because the votes are counted, and then by January 20th, you have a new president. So if there's any kind of shenanigans, there's no way you can collect evidence or do whatever.
We should push it back to March 4th like it used to be.
Yeah.
And even then, it wouldn't be enough time. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, what are you going to do?
All right.
Where's my free shit?
Yeah, where's my free stuff? All right.
Because historically, and percentages, people don't want freedom. They want free stuff.
Oh, okay. So here's the... Here's the story. This is what your buddy Joe Biden did. Your buddy. This is what Joe Biden did.
See him fall down on the stage.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they're blaming it on a sandbag.
I didn't see a sandbag.
I said it was a sandbag on the stage.
There was nothing. He tripped over his own feet, which is fine. Okay, you trip over your own feet. That's fine. Did you see the thing that they took pictures of the bottom of his shoes? And he's got those old people shoes with the grip bottoms, you know, real soft bottoms, so you don't trip.
They better give him cleats.
So then they took that video and they took a picture. They took the video of Trump swinging a golf club, hitting a driver.
Yeah.
And then the ball comes over and hits Biden in the back of the head and he falls down. I love the internet. I love memes. I love all that shit. I'm here for every part of it. Now I forgot what we were talking about. Damn it. Me and my addled head.
We're talking about the election.
Oh, yeah. The election.
And election laws.
Right. I don't know what's going to happen, but it scares the shit out of me. We cannot continue to go down this path. I'm to the point now where I believe it's over. The United States, America, as it used to be, is over. And
so you're a true conservative now.
Yeah, I guess. I believe it's over, and we're waiting for the other
shoe. You're an optimistic conservative. That's the old joke. A pessimistic conservative says, everything's over. Things can't possibly get worse. And an optimist conservative says, oh, yes, it can.
So Duchess put a thing in Fox News. Watch Biden hit his head while exiting Marine One hours after falling on stage. Fucking guy. How is he going to run for another?
They're going to jam him in a basement. And he's going to Skype or Zoom or whatever they're doing now.
It's amazing. It makes me think, and I can't produce on the fly, but I'm going to tell this story. So there was a woman on a podcast. It was a video. She's sitting there. She's got some kind of liberal shirt on with a saying. She's in a mask. All right.
And so you know she's a true believer right there.
True believer. And she's talking to a guy. And she goes, are you one of those MAGA Republican Nazis? And the guy, no. And she says, did you wear a mask during COVID? No. Or then you're a MAGA.
The guy was in the Air Force.
It might have been.
Yeah. So you got an American flag. Well, yeah, I'm a retired Air Force person. Yeah. She asked if he was MAGA, a MAGA right winger. He says, I'm not. As well, you're wearing an American flag on your. Yeah, I was in the Air Force.
Well, that means you're a MAGA right winger.
Yeah. And then she asked about the mask.
I don't feel safe being in here. I don't think I should be in here. Yeah, go back in your hole, lady. Mm-hmm. There's mental illness right there. Crazy. That's mental illness. So crazy for wearing a mask now.
Crazy.
It's funny. We start out this episode, we start out talking about, and we always kind of wind back up into this thing, which I think it's a kind of an important thing. I think it's a very important thing to talk about. I love talking to you about it.
Yeah, but I think people bail.
We already lost two people. Bob left, and so did Gordon. They both bailed.
Yeah,
talking about it. Duchess is still here, though. You can shut it off. I don't care. The people that are interested in it is fine. Who
you don't find it tedious?
No, I don't.
Don't you have any other joy in your life that every day?
Yeah, but don't you? Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, of course I have joy. I podcast. I play poker. Yeah, I have joy in my life. I go buy $7 worth of coffee on the daily.
Witty shit that might happen to you.
All right. Don't you think that it is important enough to talk about, maybe try to get the message out to people? Maybe it is tedious.
I think it's basically like the cave by Plato, if you know what that is. It's just
of course I do.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know about that.
Plato.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, isn't that the shit that comes in a can that you make stuff out of?
Yeah, Plato from a book from the Republic, and it's I'm not going to bore everybody with it on here, but basically you go back into the cave to free who you can. It's kind of like the Matrix.
Oh, okay.
But you have to realize some people don't want to be free.
Some people don't want to be free. They all believe it. Oh, I know what I started to talk about. I started to talk about how they promised the students that they would get. Debt relief. Mm-hmm. Here's your student loan debt relief. They knew that wasn't going to happen. They knew it was a lie. But they have people and they're like, oh, well, we're still going to get our loans. Nope. That didn't work.
Yeah.
And he blamed it on the courts because he knew it wouldn't work. But it got them votes. It's that kind of bullshit that they do that bothers me.
Bozo did the same thing on various things. You know, he even said, oh, it's illegal. I'm really not allowed to do it. But I'm going to do it anyway. And then the process starts and they get half the people in that they wanted to get into it. And the court says, no, you can't do that. But by then it's too late. And
Yeah, they did the same thing with the mandates of
Then they become like that kid Urkel. Like, did I do that? You know,
exactly. They did the same thing with the vaccine mandates. Oh, we're going to mandate it through OSHA. And they're like, you can't do that. We're going to sue you. They sued them, yeah. And then all of a sudden.
Not for the Daily Wire.
Yeah, the Daily Wire sued them. They ended up.
Speaking of the Daily Wire, remember years ago, you and I got in an argument, what a surprise, over that Netflix, The Making of a Murderer.
Yes.
And you were like thinking the guy was innocent. And I was telling you like, no, he wasn't innocent. And you were like, yeah, but see, because you fell under the ether of slick production values and movies. And I said, don't depend on Hollywood to learn history.
Okay.
Talking about the Daily Wire, Candace Owens is putting out a 10-part.
I can't wait to watch
documentary, it. The Making, The Conviction of a Murder, because she's going to show you all the evidence that fucking Netflix didn't put in because they want to sell an agenda.
Okay, well, then I will change my opinion if I believe what she said. But now, I can only go with what I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, okay, you can say that I believed it.
But when your friend Deuce tells you, well, wait a minute.
Well, okay, but
no,
then
fuck
again,
you, Deuce.
But do you know me? Do I believe, you know, I
no,
have
you never
to,
believe anything I say.
Well, not just what you say, is that, you know,
it's
I want to see,
good fun.
Yeah, I want to see it myself. I want to see the myself.
But it was you there. I knew about it. So
I
that means
it.
You could have found it.
I thought
but
of it.
But you were in the cave. You did not want to be freed.
You know what? I'm offended that you even said that, and I'll tell you why. Because I sat there and what I watched it how I feel objectively, but
you can't watch it objectively if Netflix withheld. That's a lie by
so what do you
omission.
Do? You can't believe anything that they put up now. So.
Not no, nothing at all. When it comes to historical content, you don't believe you don't trust Hollywood to learn history, not at all.
Right. So who killed JFK?
Lee Harvey Oswald,
just by himself.
He's the only person that we know of, and basically that's the only – all the evidence proves that way. Now, are you going to use Oliver Stone's horribly misrepresented
movie? I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that there's another videotape that was taken from the field on the opposite side of where the Zapruder films were, and they want the original of it, but the FBI will not give it up because they want to master it and see if they can find out if somebody shot from the grassy knoll. All right, there could be evidence. Why is it that when we want to release the report on this, that we can't release it 50 years later, and anything that comes out is redacted up the ass?
I don't know anything of this film that you're speaking of. So send
Again,
me the link.
I'm just saying, all right, so but just because I – maybe not back when we did this, when we were talking about it when you say we were talking about it, because I do remember that. But I believe now that I – view everything through a very skeptic lens. I really do. Mm-hmm. Both sides.
Yeah, because at the time, there's a lot of Netflix. There was 14 or 15 points of evidence that Netflix just didn't even bother showing. Like, no, fuck that.
All right, but then again.
But the jury saw.
Okay. But then again, excuse me if I don't believe that some backward country fuck the police department in Kenosha, Wisconsin, or wherever the hell fuck they were, decided to mail it in, got one person.
Isn't
and
that
said,
where the guy drove through the parade?
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, this is the same area that he was from. Yeah.
Yeah, what's that guy's name?
Don't know.
Yeah, you'll never know either.
Never know, but when they choke one out on the subway, and the next thing you know, we know all about him. We see him walked out and perp walk and all that other. We see him in court. We see all this other shit. But, you know, you take and drive through a parade and kill a bunch of grannies and kids, you know, if you're a
nothing
driving a
here.
Car, and you do that, we don't know anything about you.
Yeah, but I can't wait till that comes out.
You should see the look on Dutch's face every time I hit that. Because what happens is, I do this, and it makes you think that I'm saying...
Theater of the mind.
Theater of the mind.
You are a mental case.
I am a mental case. All right. What do you say we wrap this up and do some podcast shout-outs? Do you have them?
Let's see if Bill Gates will let me pull them up.
Oh, that's because you put them on Word, didn't you?
No, it opened right up. Well, however you send it to me, it's okay. If you are looking for some other great independent podcasts to check out, we highly recommend these podcasts. The Jason and Mindy Podcast, starring Jason and Mindy.
It is probably one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. And boy, I'll tell you what. A podcast could not be a bigger fan of this show. I really appreciate them, you know, talking about us and sharing us with their audience. And I hope that they don't get pissed off after all the I've done. So, hey, Theater of the Mind.
Yeah, they pulled all those Diane clips.
Yeah, which so. I was like, damn it, there they are. She's chatting it up over there, Diane.
Yeah, I played it back to Diane. She says, did I really talk that much?
Oh, yeah. Can't get her on mic over here, though.
Yep.
That's fine.
Take an act of Congress.
Who's right with Doug and Anthony? Anthony's been on a month-long vacation.
Much to Doug's chagrin.
Right, because every time they try to record, there's...
They did an eight-minute podcast, like, last week, because there was no internet hookup, so they had to do it over the phone. That was it.
And Doug got pissed off and quit.
Yeah, I was like, that's enough of this.
Right, so then I get messaged, why don't you go do... why don't you go, because they can't get Anthony, why don't you go on Who's Right? I'm like, what? Yeah, sure. Okay, I mean, Doug has my number. If he wants me on his podcast, all he has to do is call, and I'll be on his podcast. I'll come in there and...
Call me.
Yeah, call me. Call me. I'll
do it. Oh, Blondie.
Right.
We're with The Unwritable Rant with Juliet Miranda.
Yeah, I'm a fan of her. She's got a cooking show now.
Really?
Yes.
I knew that.
I'm a fan. I can't... I should be better. I'll have to update this, but... yeah, she has a cooking show, which
so what you're saying, it doesn't cost her $2,550 a year to have coffee.
Pretty much.
She's cooking her own.
I'll tell you what I don't want. I'll tell you what I wouldn't want. I wouldn't want their bar tab, I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty much up there in the bar tab.
You, not me. I shake my head with Lisa and Sam. Hold on, my ride's here.
Well, they mean it this time because they really leaned on that horn.
They leaned on that horn.
Jimmy probably told him you were podcasting. Yeah.
I can't call over there, so please. He called in a false
called
false,
a false alarm. Alarm fire. Just have him roll by.
It's the Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? It's the Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do?
Back to podcast shout outs. I shake my head with Lisa and Sam.
Steel Toe Morning Show with Aaron and April.
I'm going to throw us all out of whack here because me and Edward made up. So I'm going to add his podcast to the shout outs, or as I call him now, Editor Edward, because Editor Edward is now editing the Rubberneckers podcast. I have never let anybody touch a podcast that I've recorded.
Mm-hmm.
I actually trust Edward enough, so he is now editing my work. That's a big step for him. Like, that's trust. I would not.
It's not a big step for you?
Well, I mean, I trust him. It's not a big step for me to let him do the work because I trust him. But if you're looking for an editor, you're listening to this and you have a podcast and you want to, he's trying to, you know, start a side hustle. And right now he's very, very affordable and he does great work. So what I call Editor Edward. Here's the thing about Edward. He's a very talented guy. He can sing. He does song parodies. He's really good with production. But the problem with Edward is he's a millennial. And the problem with millennials, they have all this talent, but they want somebody to come over and say, oh my God, you're so talented. Please come in here and we will throw money at your feet and you do everything that you want. And here you go. Here's money. Please do what you want to do. Now, that's not how it works, Edward. You got to get in there, you got to call and pay your dues and take shit work and do all of that shit. It takes hard work. So, sorry, millennial. You're going to have to get in there and kick and scratch and all. Well, but anyhow, I Am Canceled with Edward. Married as Fuck with Randall and Brooke.
The Boomer Bunker with Boomer Bob and some guy named John.
Yeah, some guy. And also Brilliant Observations with Jessica and Melissa.
And the Rubberneckers podcast with John and Jody.
Yes.
Is it still Jody?
Yeah, it's still Jody.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah.
It's like a turkey timer waiting for that to pop up and there'll be another name in there.
Yes, it does. All right. We have a Discord. I have a Discord. Deuce refuses to come into the Discord. But I have a Discord. And when we record this show, you can come in and watch us record the show. It's free.
You can watch John record the show.
You can watch me record the show. You can hear Deuce record the show live with all the mistakes and all the stuff.
Warts and all.
Warts and all. The link is in the show notes for that. We'd love to have you over there. We also are on Twitter. And we also have an email address.
None of this stuff you'll use.
You won't use any of it. Yeah. We have a phone number. You won't call in. You won't leave a message. We all the stuff that I have for you to get in touch with us, you won't do it. So it's in the show notes if you want it. I'm not even going to talk about it because you won't use it, but it's there. If you stumble across, you get mad at me when I say, you filthy
eat my fart box.
Yes.
You're out of control.
All right. We'll talk to you next month.
Adios, bitches.
Shut the fuck up so I can end the recording.
That's it. We're just getting into it.